turn with me, please, in your Bibles, to 2 Peter. Thank you for your prayers last week. Pastor Jason and I were invited to a nationwide Christian leadership conference in Long Island, and some of you knew this and were praying for us then. We met leaders from Texas, Louisiana, Maryland, New York, different places, California, and we shared. And this organization was started by a ministry in Korea, in South Korea. And they have a facility in Seoul, their headquarters, and then another one in Long Island. And it's like a headquarters, and it reminded me of Lenox when we were living in Lenox, Massachusetts as a ministry. The leader also reminded me a little bit of Dr. Stevens, the Korean version. And he has this vision and these people, humble, passionate Koreans who have come to the United States as missionaries. And they are ministering and trying to, and they are reaching Americans and building up people in the faith. So they enjoyed our portion, we enjoyed theirs, and I think they are in 100 countries, this particular ministry. Good News Fellowship is the name of it. They're in 100 countries with 1,200 pastors and ministering Christ and the finished work. So I wanted to mention that to you because I asked you to be praying for us, and we were so well received and loved by them. We appreciated it. One of the Korean pastors said to me at lunch, he said, you know, Americans came to Korea when we were a Buddhist country, and they were effective, and God used them to turn our country into a Christian country. It was 99% Buddhist 100 years ago, and they would persecute Christians, you know. They would take a pastor, put him in a boat, tie his hands, take him out to sea, and throw him overboard. This was persecution of Christians in Korea. But he said, God moved, and God has moved in our hearts. And we believe we should come to America and help America find God. Yeah. Thank you. Come as many as you can with the right message and minister Christ to us. We are in interesting days, so I'd like to share a couple thoughts with you this morning. We'll see how this goes. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to thank Pastor Shibeli, Pastor Eugene Davis, who returned from Africa, and the great report of what God is doing there. 279, or how many churches? 268 Greater Grace churches in many different countries, 28 in Africa. 25 different countries in Africa, Zambia, Uganda, Ghana, Liberia, Ivory Coast, like 25 countries, 16,000 people going to church on a Sunday in those churches with Bible school. That is a great work. You and I are part of something where we can say, we look at it and we say, what has Christ done? What has Christ done in that life? What has Christ done in that church? What has Christ done in Korea? What has Christ... They also said Americans came and fought in the Korean War so we could be free. And we are free. And we are sending missionaries. You know that Korea is the highest sending missionary country in the world. 100,000 Korean missionaries in the world. They go everywhere. Isn't that beautiful? I have a little joke. It's maybe, you know, when the Japanese go somewhere, they bring Toyotas. The Chinese, they bring restaurants. The Koreans bring Christianity. Wow, yeah, come on. Bring the message of Christ. So we are part of something. We are part of something. It's important for us to understand this. And your life is precious before God. And God is with you and cares about you. And he ministers to you. And in our church, this is what our prayer is all the time, that the Holy Spirit will minister and help you in your life, help you raise your family, help you live alone if you live alone, help you with your job, help you in your temptation if you're physically sick, help you in your sickness, and to finish your course in life. Because this world we are in is a phase. It's a phase. I want to show you a short a little diagram here. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we have the earth, the world or the earth, the planet, which was, is, and will be. Three phases. So if you look at chapter 3, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, there was a world here that was, it is the same planet, but was different. The continents, it appears that the continents were all together. There was a society, there was a ungodliness, there was a growth of ungodliness in the world that was. What happened to the world that was? It was covered with water. So this is chapter 3 in verse 6. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. We do not know how many people were on the planet at that time, but all of them gone. All of them drowned. Probably the dinosaurs went into an extinction at that time. They're gone. People were gone, except Noah and his family. His three sons and three daughters-in-law, the world that was. This world that was is written in the scripture in Jude and 2 Peter as a warning to us that God is God and people are not God. And if God makes a judgment, if God is righteous... And by the way, this is the direction of these three words, is that we are looking, God is looking for righteousness. This is his nature, his character. He cannot lie. He cannot cheat. He cannot be deceitful. God cannot deny himself. God's nature and character is very important. And the world that he made was to be this way, but it isn't. So we have phases in what he's doing, and they are outlined in this 2 Peter chapter 3 chapter. The world that was. I want you to meditate on that today and think about it. It's the world that was. When it was covered with water, we understand there has been continental shifts. And when you look at the map of the world, you wonder, how did it get like this? Why does it look this way? Why, where did the waters come from? How did the continents shift? There are these continental plates, and the geologists can tell us much about it, and you can look at it and study it. But it's very interesting. What happened? Were there a billion people on the earth when the flood came? They suspect there could have been some billions of people on the earth at that time. What? Billions of people. There, the flood came. It is so serious, and it's used as an example with the angels falling from heaven. Both examples are great ones of God's judgment, that God is not like us. God is a judge. He loves judgment, but he loves mercy. Mercy rejoices over judgment, but he can't do it carelessly or without principle. He has to keep his righteousness and have mercy rejoice over judgment. An example of that would be Abraham Lincoln, which I've told the story before, but in the Civil War, American Civil War, the Army of the Potomac, if they any soldier ran away or in the whole army, there was Secretary of War was Stanton, and he was a tough guy, and he wanted discipline in his army. So if you ran away in the face of battle, you'd be executed. So there were people that were caught running away in battle, and they were sentenced to death, and some of them died. But Lincoln would spend Friday afternoon in his office, like a pardoning the execution, pardoning. And one time a woman showed up at the White House with two little children and said, I beg for my husband. I beg he's to be executed today. Like I beg these children need their father. And Lincoln said something like, well, I don't think it would do him any good to be shot. He pardoned him. I like this example of judgment and mercy rejoicing over judgment. And God is like that. God wants to give mercy to this world. God wants to, but do you realize there was a time when there was the mercy was given to Noah, and Noah built the ark and saved his family. But it looks like no one else, and a third of the angels falling, and they are judged. It's over. They have no future but hell. It's shocking. It shocks people when you talk about God's judgment and you talk about righteousness and you talk about hell. It's shocking. But this is the context of this. This is something you should always remember, the world that was. You should always remember that it is serious. Now we are in the world that is this one. That's the one that we woke up this morning in, the world that is. It's the only one we know. It's the one where you go down and get breakfast. You look outside, the sun is shining. Birds are singing. My wife told me, she said, they start singing at 6 o'clock. They have it on their to-do list. They sing from 6 to 7, and then they're quiet. They check it off their list. The world that is. Have you looked around at the world that is? Will there be a nuclear war? Could that happen? Starting in Europe or here, how do we know? The world that is there a COVID? Is there cancer? Are there cemeteries? Are there hospitals, police stations? Is there lawlessness? Is there evil? Is there murder? The world that is. What is this world? The world that is. That's important. But it's not the end of the road. No, it isn't. It's a process. We're going somewhere. We are most blessed people because we have a Bible that tells us we're going somewhere. He tells us about what was to say, sober up, people. Like, sober up. I am God. I am God. I am in heaven and I do whatever I please. Psalm 115 and verse 3. I am for you. I love you. I gave my son for you. I fill you with my spirit. I read that verse, Galatians 5, the flesh lusts against the spirit. But there's another part to the verse. The spirit lusts against the flesh. Always remember that. Meaning, my flesh is against the spirit. But don't forget, the Holy Spirit dwelling in me is against my flesh. Remember that. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you will lead you, and you will be against your flesh. You will not accept it. I cannot live in a lie. I don't want to live in a sinful way. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to be an unbeliever. I don't want to faint. I don't want to make compromise. I don't want to make excuses. I'm living in the world that is. And what is this world? Maybe it's a theater for the humiliation of the saints. It's a theater where we, like sheep, go to the slaughter. Maybe it's a theater for our training to reign with him in the next phase, the world that will be. If that is the case, then we are so honored to take life seriously and to say to Jesus with our hearts, if you came, I want to know what that means. If you came and saved me, I want to know what that means. If you speak to me, I want to be able to hear you. If you're leading and guiding us in this life that is, I want to know where we're going, what's going to happen, where the whole thing comes, where it rolls out, and how much you are glorified in it. Because God is glorified in it. Okay? All right, so go back to the text, and we'll read that, what I just said. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Perished. How many monkeys perished? All of them except the monkeys on the ark. They did not. How many elephants perished? All of them except those on the ark. Do you believe it? You go to God with that question. You talk to God about it. Is it real? Did that really happen? Is a flood a real thing? And you can study it. There's so much material. But it's also a heart issue. It's a heart issue of what you believe and think about God and his word. For this is the word of God. It's a joy to have it. It's a joy to meditate on it and think about it. Because we are the thinkers, God's thinkers. We are the people that relate to the person. We have the living person of God as our teacher. And he's telling us, live by faith. And trust me, this is what I'm telling you. This really happened. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now... I've got to put this word in. That's what I mean by is. the world that was, the world that is now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there will be fire. So the first one was water. Water that changed the world from what was to what is now. And the next one will be fire. And fire will change the world into what will be. Fire, water, and then fire. Really? Yes. It will happen. It'll be changed. What will happen to the people? They will be judged at the white throne judgment. After the white throne judgment, then there is the dissolving of all the elements. The physics of the universe has changed. Somehow there's a release of an amazing amount of energy, a loud noise. An amazing amount of energy is released. There is heat, and there's a transformation that happens. And there will be a world that will be. So read it with me, please. It says, verse 7 we read, and then we will skip to, verse 8 and 9. These are all relevant, of course. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Meaning, our time scale, our timetable is different from God's. He has 1,000 years with us is like one day to him. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. What's going to happen? A new world. What kind of world will it be? Righteousness. Righteousness. You could almost cry. You could almost cry thinking about it. Righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Are you tired of the lies? Are you tired of the betrayals? Of the selfishness? Are you tired of it? Does it wear you out? Did it Lot, when he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, it vexed his righteous soul every day? Is this the way we are made, being born again with the nature of Christ in us? There's one thing I want you to understand clearly. In our church life and in Christianity, this is not about moral behavior primarily. This is not about a man becoming a Christian and going through motions of moral living. This is not about a moral transformation or moral behaviors and moral living. This is about a new birth. This is about a spiritual birth. This is about a miracle. This is about Christ born in you. This is the kingdom of God. This is Christ born in you. Colossians 1:27-29. This is the miracle of the atonement. Let me explain that. Jesus became here, and there's two things about Jesus that you can't see right away. Number one, he's the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. A lamb is slain, the blood is shed for the sins of the people. Second thing about Jesus, he's the priest that brings the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkles it on the mercy seat. He's the priest. So he has two functions there. He is the lamb whose own blood is shed. And then he's the priest that brings it before God. And because of that blood, our sins are atoned for. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest would put his hands on the goat, the scapegoat. There would be another animal slain for him, and the sins would go on the animal. There was another goat slain. And then he would go with the blood into the Holy of Holies. And the people were waiting outside. And the priest had the bells on the bottom of his garments. And they could hear the tinkling of the bells, but they couldn't see him. They couldn't see him. They just knew he was in the Holy of Holies sprinkling the blood. And he was the priest. But you couldn't see him, but you could hear the bells. In a way, that's like us knowing that Jesus is in heaven. We don't see him, but we know he's alive. We hear the tinkling of the bells, so to speak. We know he's alive. And one way you know it is because your conscience is clean by the blood. The blood, so when the priest did come out, he was alive, and basically the statement was, by his presence, your sins are forgiven you. When did this happen to us? In the world that now is this world. So, what does it mean? It means when you believe in Christ, you are justified, made righteous, you are saved, you are forgiven, and the new birth happens. When you are born again, you begin to understand these things and spiritually enjoy them. They mean something to you. You respond to God. You start to love God. You love God. The Holy Spirit is in you, warring against your flesh. And when you live in your flesh, you grieve the Spirit, and you can actually feel the sadness. I don't like it. I've sinned. I actually can feel the sadness. I can feel like something's not right. It's not right. God made the world this way because he wants to train you and teach you who he is and lead you and bring benefits to you and show to you who he is. So when you are tempted to live in your flesh, you learn to live by faith. And you say, I don't do that. I'm not doing that. By faith. And by faith, I do the right thing. Or by faith, I follow God. By faith, I am filled with the Spirit. By faith, I walk with God. And I find him in my life. And why not? Because there's a new world coming. You know, when was it? Aldous Huxley, there was a writer, The Brave New World was a book he had written, I think in the 30s. Brave New World, it's all about, you know, the coming, a new phase of humanity, a new age, you know, the Brave New World. And then what happened? World War II happened. It's over. There's no brave new world. I think the similar thing with globalism. Globalism, oh, you know, the huge globalism. Now we have a war in Europe. How's the globalism happen? How's that working out for us? How's that going to work out? China and Russia and United States and Europe and all these other. How's the globalism going to work out for us? Not going to work. It's a lie. There are so many lies. Maybe I better slow down here. There are so many lies in our world. And if you don't have a sense of what is a lie, then it's not good. It's not good. You have to have a sense of discerning spirits. 1 John 4:1. You have to have a sense when there's a lie. You have to have the courage to say it's a lie in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud, but you got to learn to say phrases like, no, that's not right. That is weird. No, shame on you. No, I don't accept that. That's not in my family. That's not in my church. That's not in my heart. Can you talk like that? Or, you know, if you are just living in the noise and the spirit of the age, God is telling us that I sent my son that you might be like him. Not later when you go to heaven, but now in this life, that you might be like God. Matthew 5:48, be like my heavenly Father, Jesus said. You are conformed to his image. This greatly glorifies God, that we could live, the world that is now is called an evil world, by the way. It's an evil world, if you haven't noticed. It's an evil world. You know, 40 years ago, when, you know, in the beginning of my Christian life, I loved the United States, and I would always think, you know, United States is such an amazing country. But then I would read in the Bible that we shine as stars in the midst of an evil generation or an evil nation, Paul wrote regarding the Roman Empire. But actually, I would say this is also an evil nation. I don't know what is happening in it everywhere, but some of it now is so much in our face that you got to be crazy not to recognize it, that it's wrong. That children, I was thinking about this sexual issue with children, and thanks for your love for me and just listening to what I have to say. I only want to say it if it's helpful, but I want to put a thought in your mind. How many of you, when you were 5 years old, had any sexual understanding? When you were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years old, how much? When did you become aware of sexual, there was such a thing of sex? You had no idea when you were young. I was watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I was probably 12 years old, and I started to like Snow White. I think I fell in love with Snow White. How old was I? I would say 12 years old. And I didn't tell anybody about it, but I went away from the movie very much interested in Snow White. What the heck is going on in our country? Are they nuts? Are they out of their minds? Do they want to destroy our nation, generation? I'm so angry about it. Do you know that it is evil? You should go to jail. I don't care who you are. You're a leader. You should be arrested and put in jail. You're a teacher. You should be arrested and put in jail. I'm so angry about it. How can you pollute the minds of these little innocent children with things that doesn't even register in their mind? You're an evil person. You have evil thoughts. It's coming from an evil heart. But we're not surprised, because there was a world that was, and it was a wicked, evil world, and God judged it with water. And he's saying, wake up. But in the world that now is, we have Christ. We have Christ. Well, Christ was in Noah's time too, but we didn't see any ministry except Noah. But I know in God, God is good, and I don't know about it. We don't know. We just know there was an amazing judgment, and that's what he wants us to know about it. I am serious. He says, I covered the world with water. And now there is the world that is. And here we are. And we're fighting a good fight. And we're encouraged. And we have the Spirit and the Word. We have a church, a family. And we're growing and learning and doing something. So now let's go to the world that will be, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, if you take atoms apart, the nuclear physicists tell us, and we have seen it with their bombs and so on, or whatever, there's an amazing amount of energy released. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. No, really? Everything. Every satellite in outer space, every invention, every building, every piece of marble, every pearl, every piece of gold, every machine, every material thing, every atom, everything, it's over as we know it now. But the new world will be something like this one. We don't know, but God will do it as we read here. Let's go to verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Here's another part way of saying the small parts are taken apart. The small pieces are dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? There it is. That's maybe my reasoning this morning. If seeing we know this, then how are you living? How are you talking? How are you listening? What are you feeding on? Having known that, knowing this, then if the Spirit is on my side and is lusting against the flesh, that's a way of saying all of the Holy Spirit's movement, all of the Holy Spirit's mindset contradicts my flesh, which is sinful. And it was why the first world was destroyed and why the present world is going to be also. Because this world is, have you noticed, there's like, obviously, seriously, there's no brave new world from man. There's no utopia. It's all wind and emptiness. It's arrogance. People can't get along. They can't love. They can't forgive. But we are not those people. We are of a different kind. We are born again. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. So therefore, this is what we are looking for. Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What are you looking for? Another way, where the king is no liar, where he's his servant, where he lays down his life, his wounds are fresh in Revelation 5, where God comes way down and says, see, I am really the one. I'm the only one that cares for you. I'm the one that cares for your soul. I'm the one that will never lie to you. I'm the one that calls you by name. I'm the one that numbers the hairs of your head. Recently, I had a blood test, and I got the report from, you know, the chart, and I was reading it, you know, my white blood cells, red platelets, all of this medical information, and I don't understand it all, but I liked reading it and trying to figure it out a little bit. But I was thinking, God knows the number of my hairs on my head, and he knows the number of platelets in my blood. He knows my white corpuscles. He knows every single part of my blood chemistry and every cell in my body. God knows every person on the planet Earth, every footstep they take, every thought they think, every word that they say. And God is saying, I made you in my image. You have no idea. How long, you know, he said to Israel, how long will you not turn to me? Return unto me. Amos 4, I think. Return unto me. He said, I did this. How about climatic change in the United States with storms and tornadoes that come up through the belly of our country, ripping places apart? God said to Israel, I have done this to you, but you will not return to me. And then another one, I did this to you, but you will not return to me. And then I think there's five of them. And I have done so and so, but you will not return to me. And I have done this. And then I will send, another prophet said, and I will send an enemy from a far country, and he will come like fast. And he said to Israel, but how long you will not return to me? There's a blindness in us. We will not return to God. There's a blindness in us. It's the last thing we do. We do not return to God. That's how it is in our world. It's an evil world. And they don't know. And they need it. So we are aware of it today. Preach the gospel. Talk kindly. Introduce yourself. Get to know people. I remember going and being in Hungary, I'd go to the same tomato guy selling tomatoes. He'd go, you got the best tomatoes. He'd be so happy, he'd smile, I got the best tomatoes. Hey, he said, I got the best tomatoes. And then I'd go back to him whenever I needed tomatoes, and then I could talk to him. And he'd be interested in me and talk to him. Please know, you are sent into the world for a mission because it's someday over. It's over. Romans 13 says, we are closer to that day than we were when we were first saved. We are one day closer. We are one day closer to meeting God. And our people, as all people, we'll be one day going, and we're going to go and be in that heavenly Jerusalem. Innumerable company of angels. I love that. Innumerable company of angels, seas and hills covered with millions and billion myriads of angels that are on your side. They're on your side. You're made in his image. God is glorious. God is wise. God is true. God is righteous. And we are suffering miserably because we are unrighteous. We are suffering very much because of unrighteousness. But our priest was the Lamb who brought the blood, and he sang to us from heaven, the blood has been shed, you've been accepted, you are born again, you're a child of God, and God is your Father. The Holy Spirit has been sent into your heart so that you can walk with him and know him and anticipate this new world. Let's finish up here. It says chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Where do we read about it? But in the book of Revelation. No more sighing, no more tears, no more crying. And you can add to that list 100 things. No more police stations, no more hospitals, no more pharmaceuticals, no more high blood pressure, no more kidney failure, no more fear, no more hair loss, teeth loss, no more hearing loss. No, new world wherein dwelleth righteousness, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God. Everybody's telling the truth. Everybody is glorifying God. I remember when I was in college studying chemistry, and I was like studying it in a lab and everything, and I was like the only believer that I knew. But I would look at these chemicals and wonder, like, who made this? I could say to the professor, I never did, but I could say, who figured this out? Who made this? How is this world happening? God. That's the only answer. God did that. I could say it all the time. God did that. I mean, how do you have a bombardier beetle that has a little explosive in his belly, fire in his belly? How do you have an insect that does that? Or how about those on the water, the surface of the water? And when a predator, it's an insect, and it secretes a chemical that cuts down on the viscosity of the water so that the pursuer sinks in the water and the insect gets away. How do you figure that out? Why does that happen? Who did that? God did it. Be humble. God did it. Rejoice in God. Get to know God. There is a world coming, and there's no more tolerance for this foolishness that God puts up with and this wickedness in the human heart. You and I are proud. You and I are selfish. You and I are interested in me, myself, and I. Whenever I see a photograph, a picture of people, and I'm in the photograph, I go, where am I? Where am I in the picture? Where am I? What do I look like? Where am I? How about it? We are so filled with this self-life. We are so hurting. We are so wrong. And get used to that idea, because this is the way of finding and knowing Christ personally, is complete trust in him. And he will fill you. He will teach you. He will help you. You will learn to forgive. You'll learn to give grace. You'll learn not to make notes of, like, the injuries that you have, the imaginary injury, the specific injury. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've got God in my life. I'm forgiving. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I can't believe he's loved me. I can't believe I'm saved. I can't believe that I'm going to be with him. I can't believe that one day I'll leave my body and be in his presence. I can't believe there's a new world coming that is a lot better than this one. But I want to say something about this one as I finish here. I'm trying. What's heaven like? I think if I took my close friends and we're laughing at a table and eating and the fellowship is great and took a picture of that love, that joy, that understanding that we have with each other, my friends, my fellowship, Jesus is in our presence, we have this fellowship, and you put that on steroids and you say it's people. But it's more than people, it's Christ in people. That this is what we are made for, to be in a family with God as our Father, who is on our side, that will always love you, never fail you, always tell you the truth, and always have something higher than us, that is him, that is in our life. That world is coming, and it will fill the universe and glorify God. Okay, so let's pray. Lord Jesus, you've given us direction in your word, from the past to the future. And we're here in the middle somewhere in this phase. And the scripture says, seeing this is true, let's behave in our heart, in our way of life. Let's learn it. It's our training ground. It's our world where God is with us to show us things. Maybe somebody here has not started their journey, hasn't been born again. Maybe you've been a good person. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe you believe in God. But have you put your trust in Christ to save you? In your heart, you decide that with God. and say, yes, Jesus, make it clear to me. I am your child, and I am born again by just simply trusting in you. Teach me, show me. In Jesus' name, amen.